We will follow the order of Vespers, which is found on page 41. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Responsive psalm is Psalm 51, which is found on page 134. We will read it half verse by half verse. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. For I acknowledge my transgressions,
and my sins are before me.
Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight,
that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity,
and in sin did my mother deceive me.
Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts,
and in the hidden parts.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be white as snow.
Make me to hear joy and gladness.
Let the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Hide thy face from my sins,
and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from thy presence,
and take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation,
and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Then will I teach transgressors thy ways,
and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation,
and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness.
O Lord, open thou my lips,
and my mouth shall show forth thy praise.
For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Then shalt thou be pleased with sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and with whole burnt offering. And please be seated. A reading from James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed with the waves. For let him not think that that man shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich that in he is made low, because as a flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man sure helps, doesn't it? Okay, where am I? Okay, how about 12, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 22. And there was also a strife among them, that is, the disciples, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And Jesus said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he that is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, and that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. So far. We continue with hymn 145. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon theme this evening is Behold the Suffering Savior. And the text is from St. John chapter 18, verses 3 to 12. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That saying might be fulfilled, which spoke of the prophets, Of them which thou gave me, I have lost none. And then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said unto Peter, Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink? And then the band and the captain and the officers and the Jews took Jesus and bound him. So far, please be seated. I would first like to begin by telling you a story from the Old Testament. It's midnight on the plains of Esdraelon, and the Amalekites and the Midianites, the enemies of God and Israel, they line up along the valley of Jezreel. And for the past 7 years at the time of harvest, the Midianites would swarm down across the Jordan, spread over that land as far as Gaza, and destroy everything possible. God's people finally repented and called upon God for help. It was then that God took measures to deliver them. God called a man by the name of Gideon to gather his people together to battle against the enemy. 32,000 men left their homes and their farms to respond to that call to battle. But even this army of 32,000 men seemed small compared to the 135,000 men under Midian. But even in the eyes of God, the forces of Gideon with his 32,000 men were still too many. So through a test, God reduced these 32,000 men to only 300. 300 unskilled fighting men. They alone were to choose, or were chosen by Gideon and by God to prepare for battle. Now just think of that for a moment. There were 450 Midianites for each one of Gideon's men. That's not very good odds. But God was on side of Gideon. And then at midnight, he divided his men into three companies, and he armed them only with a trumpet in one hand and a burning lamp in the other hand. And then Gideon said, You march on my orders, and you do as I shall do. Now the time has come. Gideon's trumpet sounds clear. His burning lamp crashes to the ground, fanning into a flame, flashing brightly in the midnight darkness. And then immediately his men did the same. 300 trumpets sounded, 300 lamps are smashed, 300 torches waved brilliantly in the darkness, and 300 voices rang out, shouting, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Well, the element of complete surprise caused a panic and confusion in the camp of the Midianites. And it brings about a complete riot within their own camp. And the Midianites, thinking that they were being attacked by thousands, they drew their swords in confusion and began killing each other. 120,000 men were killed by their own sword. Well, what a contrast we have here between Gideon and the Garden of Gethsemane so many centuries later. It too is midnight, and yes, there too are bobbing torches and swaying lanterns, but they indicate the approach of a mob, not an army. And this mob is led by a man named Judas. In our Old Testament story, the flaming torches in the hands of Gideon's men were ignited by the divine spark of obedience to God's word. The torches and the lamps carried into the hands of Judas and his followers were flaming with fires of hate and hell. Big difference. The mob with Judas was made up of men from the temple guard, servants of the high priest, and other enemies, those whose hearts were filled with hate for Jesus Christ. God and Gideon, with only 300 men, they go up against 135,000 trained soldiers. Judas and his mob, they go into the Garden of Gethsemane to capture just one individual. It was in the bright moonlight that they come with torches and lanterns, thinking that Jesus might try to escape. Perhaps he would try to hide in the bushes. But how mistaken they were. Jesus had done nothing wrong. There was no reason for him to hide. After all, Jesus knew that this was his hour of darkness. He knew exactly what was ahead of him. There's no confusion. There's only calm. And when Jesus asked them, "Whom seek ye?" they indicate by their reply that they really didn't recognize him, because they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Was it because of the darkness of the garden that they did not recognize him? Or was it because he was so calm, so serene, so untroubled? Looking at him, did they think, "Surely this is not a criminal? This can't be Jesus of Nazareth, the man who deserves to die?" And how strange was their reaction to the force of Jesus' words, "I am he." And they fell to the ground. Three little words, and they were stunned. They were stricken to the ground. "I am he." Could it be that their reaction to the words, "I am he," was the conviction of their own guilt? Did Jesus perhaps touch their consciences with the evil that they were about to do? And now, in this hellish torchlight, Christ's concern is for his disciples. "If you seek me, let these go their way." You see, Jesus knew that he was about to die. But his disciples were to carry on after his death. They were to witness even to the ends of the earth, pointing to the salvation that he had brought. And there in that hour, when the forces of darkness were beginning to unleash their hatred against him, he thinks of those whom he called to be his followers. Well, here we see Jesus as the real shepherd of souls, caring for and securing the safety of the flock. He and he alone was willing to bear the brunt of hate, but he wanted his disciples spared. And I believe Jesus deals with us this way as well, his disciples today. Only God knows how many dangers we have been spared. I wonder how many times Jesus has said about you and me, "Let these go their way." Yes, in the torchlight of that night, Jesus willingly and deliberately gives himself up into the hands of his enemies, because this was their hour. Judas had given the leaders of the mob a signal. Whosoever I shall kiss, the same as he. And then Judas also said, hold him fast. Make sure that he will not escape. Here we see the depths of sin. The stupidity that Judas could be so blind and not even consider the omnipotence of Jesus Christ, who created the entire universe. How hypocritical. Judas approaches Jesus, the creator of the universe, and sells him out with a cheap kiss. That kiss, which was placed upon the master's cheek, was prompted by hell itself. But have we not too betrayed our master with a kiss of sin anyway? How often have we sold Jesus, as it were, for less than 30 pieces of silver in order to keep a so-called peace within the circle of the family or friends? But in the torchlight of that garden, we also see the compassion of Christ. He says to Judas' friend, Jesus does not draw away from Judas. He permits himself to be kissed. And in it all, he still calls Judas friend. It's so evident that Jesus does not want to hurl the soul of Judas into the eternal darkness and death of hell. He's trying. Jesus calls him friend in order to show Judas that it's not too late for him to turn from his evil ways and to seek his forgiveness. The question Jesus asks Judas is also asked of us. Friends, wherefore art thou come? Is it our love for him that we have come to the house of God? Is it because we want to show him our appreciation that we have assembled here this evening? Yes, absolutely. We gather for worship, showing our worship and appreciation for all that he has done for us. And now the flickering light of the torches reveals something else. Good old Peter. It reveals a flashing of a sword. Bold Peter rises up in defense of Christ, drawing his sword, and begins to swing it around, but he strikes the servant of the high priest and he cuts off his ear. And again, the torchlight reveals the loving power of Christ, because Jesus healed that man's ear. It is here that Jesus reproves or chews Peter out, I guess. And he says, do you not know that my Father could send me 12 legions of angels if I did not want to be delivered into their hands? But no. This is the hour of darkness. I must drink the cup that my Father has prepared for me. Well, regrettably, we too have, been touched by this torchlight flames of Satan, because our sins too are many. They are great. But greater yet, and forget this whole sermon, but remember this point, greater this yet is our forgiveness and redemption through faith in Christ's atoning sacrifice. It's free. May our saving faith in his redemption and his salvation shine forth as we hold the torch of the gospel high. And may our lamps always be ready to light up the way that leads to Jesus Christ and to eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this evening and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Now, since we have already received the offering, as you know, let's sing the first two stanzas of We Give Thee But Thine Own.
We give
At this time, let us have confession and absolution. It's found on page 16 if you care to read it. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
And please be seated.
Same night which he was betrayed to bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do, in remembrance of me." After the same manner also took the cup, and when he supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it, saying, "Drink you always. This cup is the New Testament of my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This too is also to drink it in remembrance of me."
And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Amen.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given to death for all our sins. Take a drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
True body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given to death for all our sins. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Would you please rise? We continue our liturgy on the bottom of page 42, moving over to the bottom of page 43, following the order out. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by thee from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Nice to see. Nice crowd. Anybody have anything? I think I do. I think it's Brianna's birthday. Is that right?
Yes, you're right.
Huh?
You're right.
Okay. I know her as Fred, but that's just between me and her, okay? So let's sing Brianna, not Fred, a happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Brianna. Happy birthday to you. And many more. She makes all these little signs, or not little signs, but these great signs, and I got a bunch of trophies in my office that she's created. So anyway, happy birthday.